If I remember it, actually, I switched my cell phone to silent mode during worship service, but today I intentionally asked Louis to call me so that you might hear my ringtone. And sometimes some of you would call me after worship service, and you do not get answers from me, and it happens when I forgot that my cell phone is still on silent mode. And so if you can send me text messages, I would respond to it whenever I can. Certainly, church members would know that it is not very appropriate to call me during worship services. But since there had been unexpected calls from unknown callers, I tried and make it sure that my cell phone won't ring during worship services, if I remember it. How do you respond to unknown callers? How do you usually answer unknown callers? How do you, when they call you, you don't know that caller personally, it's not registered in your cell phone, how do you respond? What do you normally say? Do you say hello? Do you say good morning? And normally, when I'm in the mood, I would say ni hao, ni hao ma. Or kaya magandang umaga, mushi mushi. I use non-English language, and if the person know me and that number is not registered in my cell phone, then they would be willing to say hello. They may understand. But anyway, if you have registered online, if you have applied online for a job, you sent your resume, your application form online, your name and telephone number had become public. Somebody might have sold your information, and they might have shared already. There are dishonest individuals that take advantage of innocent people, especially if you look at, there's this upload in your social media account, and somebody is offering you a job, and you do not know the job, but you're interested in that job. For example, if you are in an engineering and they are offering an engineering job, or if you are a businessman and they are offering a business partnership, and you registered. Now, expect that in the next few days, calls from London, Ontario, America, South Africa, or anywhere around the world will be calling you, because your information had been shared already. Dishonest individuals take advantage of innocent people. These dishonest people want to get rich very quickly. They want this easy money that they may spend on their luxurious indulgence. Let's read Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, meditatively. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little make it grow. Now this, what does it mean, dishonest money? Is this easy money? Like for example, those who know somebody back in the Philippines, there was this small town lottery they called Huiting. Have you heard that, Huiting? Number games. And some people are trying to take care of that number as if it is, this is my pig, I'm taking care of this pig, something like that. And when they win, they would spend the money they won with their friends. They forgot that they had spent so much money playing in that small town lottery, and That's how it is. The wisest and the richest king of Israel, King Solomon, knew that very well, that this dishonest money dwindles away. He had wisely ventured in different businesses, different trades, different industries. You can name a lot of it: agriculture, orchard, ranch, vineyard, realty, construction, mining industry, even shipping lines, transportation, and many other trades. Initially, he prayed for godly wisdom, and God granted him that wisdom that he asked, that he become a responsible king of Israel. It expanded even in his business ventures. And with godly wisdom, King Solomon had proven, personally proven, and honestly made his wealth increase so that he was the richest king. Somebody said, even of all times, even richest than the richest man in our generation. If you consider that amount in his generation and the amount that they have right now, if you convert that amount that King Solomon had accumulated, the wealth that he had accumulated, it multiplies to a lot of money, more than the trillions of money that the richest people of this world have in our generation, accordingly. Honesty was his open secret of gaining much wealth. Honesty. Remember that. Honesty is the open secret of gaining much wealth. He advised that whoever gathers money little by little, make it grow. Little by little, make it grow. How is that? Where is honesty in that phrase? Well, look at that. It says, first, this honest money dwindles away. So he compares this honest with little by little, meaning that little by little is an interpretation of honest gathered money. It doesn't mean that just a little bit of earning, when you earn with minimum wage, it's not like that. It means honest increase of money. So, as opposed to this honest money, this phrase, little by little, you gathered it honestly. Can you believe that godly wisdom promotes honesty? With godly wisdom, you would be honest in your dealing with wealth. With godly wisdom, you invest in honest ventures, and God see your heart, honest heart, and makes your money grow. So pray for godly wisdom. That godly wisdom is the empowerment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the power and wisdom of God to those who believe in him. Did you know that? It advised in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 15. Let's read it together. You must have accurate and honest weight and measures, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must have accurate and honest weights and measure. Godly wisdom is practical proof of faith in God. Godly wisdom, you believe that when you do honestly, God would bless you. Godly wisdom promotes honest investment. With godly wisdom, King Solomon ventured in business honestly. So listen reflectively. It says in verse 1 in our passage, let's read together, verse 1, 2, 3. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming to you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Reflect on this. If employers pay their employees on time, you call them honest, right? They are honest employers. If they intentionally delay salaries, that's dishonesty. Why won't they pay salaries of employees on time? Why won't they give salaries of employees on time? If they pay it anyway, why won't they give on time? Maybe if your salary is delayed for 15 days or 1 month, maybe they want their money to earn a little more interest in the bank. 1 month, interest of millions of dollars, that's huge. And if family budget depends on the daily wages, if you are working in minimum daily wages or weekly salary, and your salary comes late, where will employees get food? How do they pay their bills? Now, if you have late salary, you are also late in paying your bills because you have nothing to pay your bills. And your bills would have interest if you don't pay on time. And then, what do you do? The desperate employee in dire need, they borrow money from loan sharks or people who offer loans at extremely high interest rates, 5-6, if you know that term. Can believers avoid late payment of salary? I am an employee, how could I have salary on time? I don't control when my salary would be given. It is in the control of the employer. But what can we do so that your salary would not be late? What can we do as believers? Pray sincerely for your employers. Pray sincerely for your employers to have godly wisdom so that they may be exceedingly satisfied with their wealth and that they may prosper. Some people may argue, why would I pray that they may prosper and this employer is dishonest? Pray that the Lord move the heart of your employers even to increase your salary, even promote you. Keep praying. Then you won't be dependent on daily wage. You will have extra savings as well. The Lord knows if you are praying sincerely. Start now and observe. A year later, you would praise God that you are praying for your employer. Is it possible that that you would have increase in salary, or you even promoted? Here's a promise of God to His people. This is a promise of God to His people. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 17 to 22. Let's read meditatively. Don't take advantage of each other. That's honesty. But fear God. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees. Be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. That's peace. Then the land will yield its fruits. That's abundance. You will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? This is wonderful. 21. I will send you such blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the 8 years, you will eat from old crops and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. Now, when we were reading this, we were wondering, is this really possible for believers? And we, as a family, experienced that. Before we came here, went to the seminary. Coming from missions, we went to the seminary. And one missionary told my eldest daughter, tell your father, instead of going to the seminary, get a job so that you will have something for your family. I did not. I enrolled in the seminary. And yet, for that whole year, we did not worry about finances. I was not working. Of course, my wife was working, but one parent in the Philippines working for average salary is not enough for family of five, but God had provided. So we have proven that this passage is not only promised to the Israelites, but to people of God. Do you go to work on time? Who goes to work on time? Who arrive on their work? If you are working at 8 to 5, do you arrive at work at 8? And then, do you go and spend 30 minutes in the washroom preparing for yourself everything you need to do? Then go, after 30 minutes, you go to your office and, what is it? What shall I do? Okay, you prepare, switch on the computer and everything. How many minutes have you wasted preparing before the actual work? Let's say 30 minutes. And then you go home at 5. Oh, 4:30. Oh, you go to the washroom again, prepare everything so that you go home prepared. And then, 5, all right? Time's out. Do you do that? Friends, that's dishonesty. Dishonesty at work is rebellion to the decree of God not to take advantage. And many employees are dishonest, and they complain why their salary had been delayed. Maybe because your employer have been nearing bankruptcy because of the dishonesty of employees. If you go to work and be prepared, once it's 8, you start working and quit at 5 and then start preparing for home. That is fair enough. God's decree of honesty and not to take advantage of others is the godly principle of abundance mentioned in Leviticus. It says, do not take advantage of its other. Fear God. You do that. You do your work because of the Lord. You do not want to miss that abundance that he had already prepared for you to receive. Honest employees don't take advantage of their employers. If you know that it's traffic, you go earlier than expected. If you arrive 1 hour before your allotted time, that would be great. You can have still your coffee. And then, why do you go to work late? What do you do? Why do you go home very early? What do you do? Honest employees come to work early in that allotted time, and go home after the allotted time, not exactly on the dot, but not spend work hours in the washroom, if it's your work hour, unless you have stomach trouble, don't use your working hours doing personal things before actual work or before going home. Certain Christians believe godly principles of abundance from the Lord is specified in the scripture, and they have proven to be true when they cheerfully obeyed. Lately, I praise God. A believer testified that she regularly arrives at work earlier than on time. She goes home very much later, maybe 30 minutes to 1 hour before, after the time. If she would go out at 5, she would go home maybe 5:30, 6. At first, she had a very harsh boss, because the boss was very new, and that boss did not know her. But she always prayed for the boss. What happened? She had salary increase. When the salary increase came, how much? How much is salary increase this year? 2%? 2.9? 3%? She had more than the regulated salary increase, doubled, more than double. And it happened not just once, she told me. A couple of times, many times, she had increased. If salary increase is 2 point something or 1 point something, she had 5% or 9% increase. Can you believe that? Who believes that story? I presume that she would not stop praying for her boss. The Lord would certainly make sure that honest believers would be compensated. So pray for stronger faith, godly wisdom. Lord, give me godly wisdom. Give me stronger faith so that I will gladly work honestly. Again, regularly pray and sincerely pray for godly wisdom for yours, for your employers also. Pray that they may become exceedingly wealthy and honest in dealing with their employees. That is something that you want to pray for. Why? If your boss would prosper, you might be in the next line of promotion to become manager of the next business establishment that employer might start. If you are a business owner, if God blesses you to become a manager, or if you are planning, if you are hoping to be promoted, read this, Psalm chapter 12, verse 5. This is a warning, because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. So if you are hoping that one day you have your own business or become a manager, be sure that you know this, that the Lord protects those who are poor employees. So don't take advantage of them. God will see to it that prayerful believers will get justice that they deserve. If you deserve promotion, so be it. But if you deserve punishment, that's terrible. As long as you are working under your boss, as long as you have a boss, as long as you are an employee, supervisor, somebody higher than you, sincerely pray regularly for godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Honesty and prosperity for your boss. This boss, why should I pray for blessing for this boss? You see, she is very harsh to me. If that boss is promoted and transferred to a higher, that boss would not be your direct boss anymore. And perhaps you would replace the vacancy that your boss would leave. How about that? That is better than thinking about negativities. The Lord would not answer your prayer. Godly wisdom, honesty, prosperity. Your boss may look after your benefits if they have prospered in other employees too. In verse 4, let's see. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Now, you do not like that poor employee crying to the Lord. Certainly, if you are employed, you do not wish that your boss would delay your wage, right? You may hate the idea of crying to God because of dishonest employers. So pray that your boss would be honest, that they may prosper. It is very advisable to regularly pray for employers to very fervently, earnestly, sincerely, that they may honestly, sincerely look after the welfare of their employees. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Start now and see what happens next year. Sincerely. If you cannot, remember, ask the Lord. Lord, help me to continue since regularly, constantly pray for my boss. And then, every time you pray, remember your boss. Every time you remember your boss, pray for him, pray for them. Reflect on this. If you are looking for a job, for you students who are about to graduate, or you students who have graduated, if you are hoping to change career, maybe your career right now is not paying you much, but you want a better career, if you hope to be employed after graduation, if you are hoping to graduate this year or maybe next year or in coming years, here's a significant factor to pray for. Every moment you remember, fervently pray regularly for your employer, future employer. They will have godly wisdom and honesty. Lord, whoever would be my employer, whoever would be my boss, I pray for godly wisdom for that boss, for that and honesty. May you prosper that boss that you would give me. Surely you want to thank and praise God for honest employers instead of crying for unfair treatment at work, right? Instead of rallying, they're marching, making something, loud noise, support, employees. You do not like that idea. You would rather praising God, Lord, thank you. My employer paid me well. Right? You have terrible case. Are you unfairly treated at work? Do you feel like I deserve better? Do you feel like that? Were you forced to work in an unfriendly environment because of circumstances you just cannot control? I need to pay my monthly bill and I need to work now. I need to work now. Compare your situation to Joseph. Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob. Being a spoiled brat, favorite son, he may have had very good treatment from his father. As favorite son, Joseph had been treated much better than his other siblings, so that his siblings were very envious of him and they sold him to slavery. It did not described very well, but Jacob listened very intently when Joseph says something. But the other siblings, maybe when they tell Jacob something, Jacob would not pay attention to them, and they were not mentioned. It did not mention that he just rejected them, but we can imagine that. Why would these siblings mistreated, maltreated their brother Joseph, who was a favorite of Jacob. Why did they want to eliminate him? Why did they sell him to slavery? Was it fair for Joseph, for being the favorite of their father? Was it fair? But Joseph kept trusting God. Now, if you feel like you have been treated unfairly, listen carefully. In Egypt, Joseph was sold as slave to Potiphar, but he honestly worked as a slave of Potiphar. And what happened to Potiphar, who bought him as a slave? Potiphar had prospered when Joseph arrived in his household. And perhaps other slaves were saying, oh, that Hebrew is working from morning to without resting. He is so honest. Maybe the other slaves were praising him. Other helpers were praising him because he just very sincere and honest in his work. And then maybe perhaps he had suggested something that Potiphar observed that he prospered because of Joseph, so that he promoted Joseph to become the manager of his household. He managed everything in the household of Potiphar. Potiphar was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. And the only thing that Potiphar worried was his food, what to eat, what shall I eat. He did not worry about what happened to his wealth, because Joseph honestly managed it, and Potiphar kept on prospering until he was falsely accused and thrown in prison. But as if his testing of faith was not enough. Do you have a harsher, worse situation than Joseph? Have you been thrown into prison for falsely accusation? It says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. What happened? In prison, Joseph maybe was very respectful to the warden, and he did honestly whatever was given him. Prison should have been the worst situation, and yet, again, Joseph was promoted to manage the prison. The warden was just sitting there. He was so relaxed, knowing that he had Joseph managing everything accordingly, so that the warden did not worry about that. What happened? Did the Lord touch the heart of the warden to trust Joseph? Probably, possibly. But because Joseph was so honest, trusting God, it says the Lord was with Joseph. He gave him success. Whatever he did was successful and prosperous. And of course, you may have heard that Joseph was promoted as the highest ruler of Egypt, the prime minister of Egypt, next to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, eventually. What can we learn from Joseph's experience? Joseph was sold as slave to Potiphar, and he was convinced that he prospered. Potiphar was convinced that he prospered because of Joseph. Can you accept that God impressed such impression to the heart of Potiphar? I believe so. When Joseph was imprisoned, can you accept that the Lord impressed in the heart of the warden to entrust all prison concerns under Joseph's care? I believe so. It is by faith that I believe. When Joseph was promoted as prime minister of Egypt, can you accept that the Lord had impressed in the heart of Pharaoh to grant Joseph all authority over the entire Egypt? All decisions pertaining governance was given to Joseph. It means Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was just king by name. He was not ruling in actual ruling. He was not administering in actual administration. He was just wearing his crown, enjoying his life as king, the name of king, but not actually doing his responsibility as king. Everything about governance was given to Joseph. If you want to increase your faith or strengthen your faith, again, this is a suggestion from somebody. Read through Genesis all your life. If you can read that at least once a year, or many times, if you can read it, if you read Genesis at least 20 times, your faith will never be the same again. Read through it, especially this part, from Abraham to the life of Joseph, from chapter 12, or even from Noah, if you would, chapter 6. What can we learn from this? It says in Isaiah verse 61, chapter 61, verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them." It's not because you say you are a Christian that you are considered people of God. The people that is saying are faithful, and those who hate robbery. What does it mean when the Lord says, "I love justice"? What can we interpret when he loves justice and hate robbery and wrongdoing? The Lord is faithful in just. He rewards honest believers who deserve reward practically, and that may even translate to everlasting or eternal recognition. Pray for a stronger faith and godly wisdom, stronger faith and godly wisdom to discern that God is concerned of our essential needs. The Lord is concerned, but not many would recognize that, both practical and spiritual. For employees and future employees, sincerely pray regularly for godly wisdom, honesty, and prosperity for your boss. Godly wisdom, honesty, and prosperity for your boss. Pray for that. If God blesses you with promotion and higher salary increase than other employees could be bitter about you. They don't like it, right? So pray for them too. Pray for especially the person you are close in at work. If you are promoted ahead of that person would not take it lightly. And if God, in God's perfect time, you prosper, how would you live your life wisely? Let's read again, verse 5 and 6. "You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Do you have godly wisdom to live in prosperity?" Now, prosperity is not easy. It needs godly wisdom too. Pray, "Lord, as you prosper me, give me godly wisdom so that when I live in prosperity, your name be glorified in my life." That is the believer's prayer. If you are praying for prosperity, pray that also that your lifestyle will serve as testimony of praise and gratitude to God, so that whenever you upload your lifestyle on social media, people would say, "Wow, praise God. Thank God that he blessed you." Not others would be envious of you. The biblical warning against luxurious indulgence can only be paid attention to by faith, of course. This warning for luxurious indulgence, warning, we can take that seriously by faith. Be prayerful if you are dreaming, living in luxurious indulgence, if you are dreaming. Be prayerful. Pray that the Lord would, your lifestyle, luxurious lifestyle, would become a testimony of his grace. What are some of those activities that are considered luxurious indulgence that are not appreciated, that are woeful. It warns in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 and the following. Let's read meditatively. Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. They have harps and lyres at their banquets, pipes, timbrel, wines. They have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the works of his hand. Let me comment that first. Isn't it that kind of life in the cruise lines? Do you observe that? Have you been cruising before? You had experienced that. They rise up early, run after their drinks, stay up late with wine. Somebody is playing harp or maybe guitar or something else. At their banquets, pipes, timbrels, wine, no regard for the deeds of the Lord. In cruise ships, I don't know if they are worshiping the Lord. I haven't been there, and I don't plan to. Verse 18, woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit, dishonesty, and wickedness as with cart ropes. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is real in our generation. Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Verse 22, woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks. 23, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice for the innocent. There are but some of the woeful, hateful lifestyle that are abominable, calamitous, deplorable, are clearly stated in the scripture. If you search about woe, it starts with woe. Those are woeful, deplorable lifestyle. There are indulgent lifestyle mentioned biblically that specifically cause disastrous, lamentable consequences. Friends, what comes to your mind when you hear sermons about luxurious indulgence? Do you sense condemnation? Do you sense anger in your heart when luxurious life is addressed? It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22, you heard that it was said to the people long ago, this is a warning, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. And many parishioners, many church attendees are very angry when their lifestyle had been addressed in the pulpit. Preachers know that. We know that. If preachers preach against luxurious indulgence, listeners may get angry. And sometimes preachers avoid sermons that provoke congregation to get angry with them. Why is that? Anger against preacher has woeful, disastrous consequences, subject to judgment. Everyone, you may be a preacher or not, each believer is reminded in James chapter 4, verse 17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do, doesn't do it, it is sin for them. What is the good that preachers ought to do? What is the good that we ought to do? The government has already lessened the restriction of traveling. There's no more rapid test or something like that. I don't know. And many believers are planning to travel wherever their money can allow them to go. Are you planning now? No. Of course, you all have the privilege to spend your wealth the best way you wish. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, read this, it's so wonderful. When God gives someone wealth and possession and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot, and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect the days of life because God keeps them occupied with gladness in their heart. So if you can enjoy your wealth, God has blessed you. But it is much better if you are happy in your toil, in your work, if you are enjoying your work. That is gift of God. So pray, if you are not enjoying your work right now, pray that God would lead you to the career you would enjoy. That is the career that God wants you to be. God wants us to enjoy whatever we do, whether it be our toil, our labor, our work, or even in not just spending those things, the way you spend your money and you enjoy it, that's great. It's a gift of God. Not many who are rich cannot spend their money. Ask those retirees who are spending their money where? In the hospital. That's not very good, right? You have much money. But somebody said, yes, big house, advanced vehicle, brand new vehicle. But that vehicle was sitting in that garage, in that empty house, because the owner was in the Seven Oaks Hospital. How about that? Because it is a gift of God if you enjoy your lot, if you enjoy your possession, enjoy your wealth. So there is a career for you that you would enjoy. Pray fervently, every step of the way. When you apply, Lord, close every door when I apply, even if I apply at 100 establishment, close every door that may tempt me to accept. Open just the door that you have prepared for me. Pray for that so that you will only have one decision to make. And when you decide that, Lord, this is it. Only one is open for me. This is your will. But help me enjoy it. Surely there will be challenges out there. The devil would not just keep quiet observing you and be happy with you. No. He would make it sure that you would hate that job that the Lord prepared for you. Because that devil do not want you to praise God because you have that right job for you. Maybe you have in the right job right now. But for many reasons, you just cannot enjoy it. Why? Because you paid attention to the devil's prompting. If you are very sincere in your faith, the devil won't keep quiet. But if you are just relaxing in your faith, the devil won't pay attention to you. Because he wants you not to experience the grace of God. He wants you to not to praise God and thank God. If you can enjoy your wealth, your career, you must be blessed. And may the Lord continue to bless every person that he allows to come and join us in this sanctuary. That is our prayer. So that your lifestyle will serve as practical proof of his grace, and we together, we praise God and thank him all the days of our lives, now in this practical life, and forever in eternity. Lastly, when it says in verse 6, you have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Some theologians suggest that this passage pertains to the death of Jesus Christ. And it is very appropriate to remember the death and resurrection of Christ for us to keep hoping that one day he will return to bring us to eternal enjoyment in heaven. As the